today on Real Radio.
What can we take away from this? That in the midst of suffering, pain, and sorrow, that there are reasons, there's a purpose, and there's a cause for all of these things? Oh yeah, that's exactly what we're talking about.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On this special edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack in a message called, Why Is There Pain and Suffering? Hello, everyone. You know, in light of the COVID-19 crisis, we will continue to break away from our study in the book of Isaiah to explore the answers to some very difficult questions. How does a Christ follower respond biblically to pain and suffering? And where is God in all this? So today, Pastor Jack will encourage us with the comfort of God's love, but also wants to remind us that suffering, pain, and sorrow, well, they're all part of life. We live in a fallen and sinful world. We often panic thinking God lives outside the realm of our troubles, but He's right there with us, building our faith and preparing us for eternity. And now in His message called, Why Is There Pain and Suffering? Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Pain, suffering, and sorrow. Things that you would think that if God is God and I am His child, I would be exempt from these things. That for me, it won't come near me. That for me, if I have enough faith, for example, these dangers, these situations will not befall me. You can look at life circumstances like this and you can begin to think, hey, listen, where's God in all this stuff? Well, what about this? What about more closer, more common realities? I lost my job. My child's got a tumor. My wife's got cancer. Where's God in all this? What's with the sorrow, the suffering, and the pain? Well, listen, it's today on this program that we want to address that because it's reality. It's part of real life. And God has the answer. First of all, we need to understand something, and this is a real call to faith. So listen up carefully. Whenever life hits us, we need to go to the place of what you and I understand to be what I would call defaults. What's the default? The default is, who's God? What has He revealed to us? What is His nature? And the Bible tells us, first of all, God's first communication to man regarding His nature is that He loves us. God says He loves us. Well, Pastor, if God loves us, then my life's going to be smooth, right? It's going to be easygoing. There's not going to be any problems. No, that's not true. God does love us, but the fact of the matter is this, that suffering, pain, and sorrow is part of human life. And you naturally might say, I don't like that prospect. I agree with you. I don't like it, but it is the reality. So, hey, listen, can I tell you something straight up and honestly? This thing about pain, suffering, and sorrow is something that according to God, He has told us in His Word. So listen, maybe you don't believe in God, but listen to this. Or maybe you're struggling with God as a believer because of suffering and sorrow. God says the world that you're in, Christian child, is a world that has been sold under sin and pain. The Bible's very clear that God's plan was not for the world to be as it is. You say, Jack, I have a hard time with that. If God is God, if God is sovereign, why didn't he keep everything right and perfect? And now that it is messed up, why doesn't he just snap his fingers and make it right and perfect now? Well, again, I understand your passion, but here's the truth of the matter. All of this bears witness to the fact that the Bible tells us that this world has been held captive by sin. The Bible tells us that sin began with Adam and Eve. The Bible says that sin permeates the human life. Out of sinful nature comes sinful actions. So that's one explanation. Why is there pain, sorrow, and suffering in the world? Well, number one, we live in a sinful world. The Bible preempted that by revealing to us that this would be a place of suffering and sorrow. So if it tells us that, we need to sit up and take notice and understand. That's the number one thing. I'm not asking you to believe it. I'm just asking you to consider. God says there's going to be suffering. So you put that over here on the table. Number two, what you're going through in suffering is this. You recognize that what's happening in your life right now in our state is not good. You and I interesting. Listen, you and I have the ability to judge the situation. This is good. This is bad. This is bad. This is good. This is good. This is bad, 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 right? We have our determination on what is good and what is bad, what is joyful, what is painful. Where did that come from? It came from the very fact that the Bible says you've been created in the image of God. You and I do know what is fair, what's unfair, what is just, what is unjust. Where does that come from? I want to submit this argument to you. From the very fact that you, having been created in the image of God, you know what's right and what's wrong. You know how things ought to be. So it ought not to be that my child, your child, has cancer. We agree on that. Atheist or Christian, we agree. I don't want my kid to have cancer, but they do. So what do we do about that? We either battle against God. Watch this. We'll either battle against God for the way things that are going, because we do not want to accept the reality of pain, suffering, and sorrow. We are going to fight, we're going to kick, and we're going to demand that God does something about it. That could be done in two camps, the believing camp and the unbelieving camp. Watch this. If you're an unbeliever and you don't like the way things are going, and so you say, hey, God, what's with you? I don't like this. How can there be a God of love when all this other stuff's going on? Your very critique of God and your assessment of the situation around your life is proof positive in your own life that you actually have some form of faith in God. I'm not saying saving faith. You might say, Jack, I don't believe in God at all. I've thought all this through, and no, I don't believe in him, because if he were real, then why would the world be in the condition that it's in? Did you just hear yourself? You're actually saying, I don't like the way things are going. God shouldn't let it go this way. If I were God, it would go a different way. You're actually admitting to the fact that you see wrong and injustice, suffering and sorrow, and you would do it differently if you had the power. It's easy to blame God, you see, when you look at it this way and say, I can't believe in God because of the way he's running the universe. Yet remember, it's the same God that said, these things would happen if you reject me. Number two, being a Christian, why am I going through pain, suffering, and sorrow? Remember, the Bible tells us God loves us. The Bible also tells us this, that God's in control. So how is it as a believer I'm suffering? Did you know that you and I, please, I don't know how to explain this. I really don't think anybody can, but the Bible just states this to be a fact. It's going to be one of those things that you and I get the answer in eternity on. That you and I, as believers, through suffering, are being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ day by day. Listen, you and I suffering as Christians, it's how this Bible becomes real life to us. Now, this book is always alive. Don't get me wrong. This is God's Word. But I don't know exactly how it relates to my life unless in suffering, I'm forced to lean upon this. It's upon God's Word that I learn that what the doctor tells me about my life situation, listen, it's something that didn't catch God off guard. It's something that did not escape the plan or the sovereignty of God. I'll put it to you this way. So the Bible tells us that Jesus gets in the boat with the disciples and they're going to head across the Sea of Galilee. The Bible tells us that Jesus went to sleep. The Bible tells us a great storm began to rage and the disciples feared for their lives. Yet Jesus is asleep. When they wake him up, they accuse him. Master, do you not care that we're perishing? Don't you understand what condition we're in? And Jesus said to them, basically lovingly rebuking them, oh, ye of little faith. What are we learning from this? What can we take away from this? That in the midst of suffering, pain, and sorrow, that there are reasons, there's a purpose, and there's a cause for all of these things? Oh, yeah, that's exactly what we're talking about. So as Jesus is in the boat and the disciples are now panicking because of the storm that's around them, a lesson is to be taken away from this. The Lord knew what he was doing. The disciples did not. They understood from normalcy that they were going to perish. Jesus understood that there was a mission, that there was a plan. You see, you and I, we have a tendency to panic in the midst of suffering and sorrow and pain, thinking that somehow this is outside the power of God. But listen, we need to understand something. There are causes to pain, suffering, and sorrow. There's not only the general cause of sin in this world, but there are some things that you and I need to be careful about. It is true, number one, that pain, suffering, and sorrow can be a result of our own sin. The Bible's very clear about that. When you and I disobey God, we reap what we sow. When you and I walk away from God, it's very clear where the Bible says, keep yourself in the love of God, that is, so to speak, under His umbrella. When we walk out from under His umbrella, we can suffer because of our own sin. Another thing is this, is the fact that the human heart is desperately wicked. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 makes it very clear that our own hearts cannot even be known but to God because they are desperately wicked. So yes, sin can be a cause. Things, for example, that are very common and we write them off. Personal sin can be the cause of our pain, suffering, and sorrow, but it's not the only thing. The other thing is this, that again, because you and I live in a fallen world, you and I could live next door to someone who wreaks havoc. They could be the one that becomes, as it were, the terror of the community. They could be the one that just causes you perpetual angst and provocation and as it were, they're testing everything that you believe. They're just bad neighbors. Their sin can affect the greater community. Again, this is part of the fallen world in which you and I live in. And again, God has addressed that. What about things like this? God gave us life and He gave us love and He gave us freedom. But why are things in life difficult to the point of childbearing? You see a woman giving birth and it's like the last thing on earth I'd ever want to do. What's that all about? When you see things taking place in life where it's so hard, people's lives are just not coming together. It seems like every turn they make, there's hardship and there's difficulty. They can't make their bills. Everything seems to be going wrong. What's with that? What about just sickness? What about this? Natural disaster. What's next to strike? Watch. What's next to strike in California? An earthquake? We don't need to panic about that. We just need to understand something. We live in a fallen world. But understand this as well, this is very important about pain, suffering, and sorrow, is the fact that you can be the most godly person walking on the planet. You could be Job, who loved God. You could be Abraham. You could be Paul. You could be Peter. You could be Mary. Listen, you could be anybody right now and yet be suffering. And here's the amazing thing about in getting us back into the boat with the disciples and Jesus. You and I cannot grow spiritually without suffering. Did you know that you could be walking so good with God, and yet cancer, fires, danger come against you? What's God doing? He did it with Job. He allowed it to happen with Job. Because God works within you and I in the midst of suffering, things that cannot be wrought any other way. On top of the fact there's a world around us watching how we handle, how we go through these things that God is putting us through. Remember, He loves you. He's out for your good, but see, you and I interpret good differently. Our good is easy. God's good is to bring you through difficulties, to work in you an eternal weight of glory, and at the same time exalting the name of Jesus. Remember, in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 48, verses 10 and 11, God's word says regarding Moab, listen, this is terrifying. God says to Moab, because your life has been at ease, you've never known any hardship. Instead of being wine that is poured out from vessel to vessel and it's cleansed of its dregs, you know, the off-colored things of the wine process, Moab stayed in the same container. Moab had it easy. Moab never had any challenges. Moab never had any problems. And as a result, God says, I'm not involved in your life. I don't even know who you are. Christian, listen, Paul the Apostle said, I would rather glory in these infirmities and in these weaknesses and in these challenges, because that's when the power of Christ rests upon me. Fire is not going to steal you away from the love of God. Earthquakes, disease, sickness. Listen, God is committed to you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Please understand this. When something hits you, it doesn't mean that God doesn't love you anymore. You check all of your bases. Lord, are we good? God, is everything fine? He's able to talk to you. In that moment, commit your way to the Lord and say, Lord, naked I have come into the world and naked I go. Like Job said, blessed be the name of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Trust him, my friend, in all the things that you're going through, and it will be fine with your soul. So what should be the Christian's response to suffering? Understanding, of course, first of all, that God is going to work this thing out. Remember, the book of Romans is very clear, chapter 8. Last time I checked, it was still there. He loves you. He's working out all things, listen, for your good to you, the believer who has been called for the purposes of God. You might be asking yourself, where is God in all of these things? Well, again, in the good, in the evil, in the pain, in the joy, God is working. Job, for example, told his wife when she challenged him about the goodness of God and the difficulty of life and where is God and all this. He said to his wife, a great, great statement, by the way, shall we receive only good from God and not evil? That's the right perspective. I know it's strong, but understand this. God is brokenhearted over the condition of this world. God hates the evil that you experience in life. You are his child going through this world, and he has promised to get you through to the other side. He will not get out of the boat and leave you in it. He will not abandon you. The Bible tells us that God is righteous in all of his judgments, but also it says in Psalm 7, verse 11, he's angry with the wicked every day. God is just, and his justice will not sleep forever. His justice will arise. You know, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, that as it is appointed every man once to die, then comes the judgment. All of us will stand before God someday. The awesome thing for the believer is the fact that we've passed, the Bible says, from judgment into life. So the world will be judged for their sins. You and I as believers will be judged according to how we handle the issues of life. And I guess the most important thing to keep in mind, especially in the lawless age in which we live in right now, is understanding, Christian, and remembering that when Jesus Christ returns in the second coming, he will judge the world. He will judge the world in righteousness. Can you leave that with him? Can you rejoice also in the fact that when he does come back, he's going to recreate the heaven and the earth. He's going to restore this earth. The Bible calls that the millennium. When Christ returns, he's going to establish his righteousness. He's going to set things right with his government. And the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, that God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. Is that good news? It's good news to me. And there shall be no more death. There'll be no more crying. That's what God has in store for you, believer. So how should a Christian respond to suffering? Number one, turn to God's word for comfort. Dear friend, that's why he's preserved this word for us. Turn to it, read it. God's word will comfort you in the midst of suffering. Don't run from him, run to him. In Psalm 121, beginning at verse 1, the Bible tells us, I will lift up my eyes to the hills from where my help comes from. God is above it all. He's viewing, he's looking down, he's over all things that you and I are experiencing, and he will help us. The Bible says that help comes from the Lord. That's a fact of God's word. Also this, remember that the fact that God says, I am near to all those who have a broken heart. Is your heart broken? The Bible says God is near you. He's going to save you. He's going to rescue you. You say, Jack, I don't feel it. Well, God didn't ask you if you felt it. God asked you to trust him. Also this, hope in God's plan of redemption. Now, this is a biggie. God's plan of redemption, he cannot fail. Do you understand that? Between Jesus Christ and the Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit, his redemptive plan cannot fail. Once he has begun a good work in you, he's going to complete it. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, for I consider the suffering of this present time to be in no way worthy of the glory that God has in store for me. His plan of redemption will not fail you. John 16, 33, Jesus says, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you will have peace. In the world, you're going to have fires, earthquakes, disease, suffering, broken heart. But be of good cheer, Jesus said, I've overcome the world. God's redemptive plan will not fail. And then finally this, listen, I hope this is important to you. It is to me as a believer. Our God and His economy, the way He works, He wastes nothing. So everything I go through, imagine, think, what about you? Things you've gone through. A marriage destroyed. A broken family. The bitterness. Often as a pastor, I see someone die and then the family just goes into this attack mode over who gets the stuff. All these kinds of things. From that to the impending, looming death itself. As a Christian, I go through these things just like you do, so that I might be comforted by the Word of God, so that I might turn right around and be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is my reason for living, right? To serve others. And that is to comfort others, believer and unbeliever alike, to comfort them. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulations, our difficulties." Why would we have to go through this? That we might be able to comfort those who are suffering as well. So Christian, right now, you name the name of Jesus. You would raise your hand if I asked you, are you a Christian today? You'd say, yes, I am. Then listen, embrace the sufferings that you and I go through, because they had to be Father filtered. God has allowed them in your life. He wants His Word to become more powerful to you than ever, so that you might have the peace of God and turn around and bless others. God never promised us that life would be easy. Never. He did promise us, though, that He would go through life with us. He would never abandon us. And in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, Jesus said such an awesome thing before He went back to heaven. He said, "I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." Your world may feel like it's ending. Listen, your world may feel like it's ending. You may be a Christian today and they've given you 2 months to live. Do you understand something? Your world is not ending. The outward man of you is sick. The outward man of you has cancer, or the outward man of you is old. The inside of you is not sick. The inside of you is not old. The Bible tells us to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said that if a man were to die believing in me, yet shall he live. Dear friend, if you're trusting Jesus Christ today, the moment you breathe your last, you breathe your next in His presence. Maybe you're not a Christian. I'll be very honest with you. If you're not a Christian today, you should be in a panic. If you're not a Christian today, you should be terrified. If you're not a Christian today, you should be wondering, what is on the other side? Hey, listen, God has told us what's on the other side. It's your choice. Frankly, the Bible talks a lot about heaven, talks a lot about hell. This book, the first few pages of this book, is all about creation. It's all about Adam and Eve. And the entire rest of the book is all about God saying, come back to me. Come back to me, people, and have salvation. Jesus died on the cross for your sins, rose again from the grave for your justification. Putting your trust in Him is eternal life. So please do that today. Trust Him.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a special message called, Why Is There Pain and Suffering? Thanks for listening. And Pastor Jack and all of us here at Real Radio want to remind you that God will never leave you nor forsake you. He is with you during this painful and challenging time. God loves us, and He's with us every step of the way. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, we want to remind you that Pastor Jack is offering live services from Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, right there at the website reallifewithjackhibbs.org. It's a great time to feel part of a great community while we're dealing with social distancing. You'll also hear encouraging messages and important updates. So head on over to the website, click on that tab that's labeled Home, where dates and times are available so you can watch us live at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. One more time, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.